I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Golftoberfest, I always am, and we are, I looked, it's just all sunshine until like Tuesday, and then it's like a 50% chance of rain. So we are going to get a run of ridiculous weather the next 5 days or so, and I intend to take advantage. You should too. So join me for Golftoberfest this Saturday morning at Hickory Heights. All right, I was going to talk about something else here, but honestly, I this happens in this business once in a while. You have something in your back pocket, but it is sort of pending the outcome of something else that happens. And I'll just fully level. Wasn't going to talk about the Cleveland Guardians while they're playing a baseball game. That would be kind of silly. And wasn't going to make the local comparison with the Guardians while they were playing a game. And if the Guardians lost, honestly, it would have fallen a little flat too, what I'm about to say. But those two things didn't happen. They played and they won. And now they'll get a chance to move on and they won't be seeing Tarek Skubal as they try to get that decisive third game against the Tigers. Pony put this tweet up, and it was almost word for word how I feel about the situation, or it was the question that pops into my mind. He sent out a tweet that simply said, "How are the Guardians able to do this, and the Pirates are not?" The exact verbiage was, "Explain to me how the Guardians are good every year, and the Pirates are not good every year." That is what he sent after that game that he was in attendance for went final. He is more of a pure baseball fan than I will, to my own kind of confession here, ever be. But I find it a compelling statement to make. The Guardians had a negative run differential. They are by probably rights the worst team in this year's playoffs. But that is a team in a city that is very comparably sized in a television market. That is very comparably sized. The Pirates, as we know, made the playoffs three straight years, 13, 14, and 15. The Guardians, in those 3 years, made it in 13 and lost the AL wildcard game, I believe, to the Rays off the top of my head. Here is what the Guardians have done from 2016 onward. You will note, for the record, the Pirates have one winning season in this entire span of time from 2016 to now. Donnie, can you remember the season and their record?
Say that again, Chris.
What was the Pirates' record and what year was their one winning season post the 3 year run? 13, 14, 15.
Didn't they go like 82-80 in like 2018?
2018, they went 82-79. They didn't even bother playing the 162nd game because it was a makeup. Here is what the Guardians have done since that 13, 14, 15 run of the Pirates. Lost the 2016 World Series in 7. Lost the ALDS the next year in 5. Got swept in the ALDS the next year, missed the playoffs at 93-69 in 2019. By the way, their four-year win total there, 94, 102, 91, 93. They lost the AL wildcard in 2020 as a 35-25 team. They went 80-82 in 2021. They went 92-70 in 2022 and lost the ALDS. They went 76-86. Does that sound familiar to anybody that's followed the Pirates lately? In 23. They went 92-69 and lost the ALCS in 2024, as you know. And they went 88-74, rallied to win the division this year, and are currently locked up in an AL wildcard series at one apiece. The Cleveland Guardians don't play in a bigger market. The Cleveland Guardians fans do not like ownership because they feel ownership does not spend nearly enough money on the product. The Cleveland Guardians most years spend a little bit more than the Pirates, but not an overwhelming amount more than the Pirates on their team. The Cleveland Guardians, in sum, face many of the same disadvantages that the Pirates do that are germane to baseball in the major leagues in this country in 2025. And yet, since the Pirates last had a season where they made the playoffs, they have won 90 or more games 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. They've had two losing seasons. Two. They had a 93-win team that didn't even make the playoffs in 2019. That was the year the Twins won 101 games and the wildcard teams won 96 and 97. That's hard luck losing right there, my friends. That's tough luck. Simple question at 412-928-9370. You can chime in right now. We'll get you on before Jeff Hathorn. I think it's worth grousing about. And I think my answer is this. There is a lot that can be said and should be said about the Pirates' lack of financial resources and willingness to deploy them, let's put it that way, compared to some of their peers. I think we all would love to see the team spend and the owner spend in the one, let's say, I always say 120 is like a nice number. Give me 120 most years. Give me 130 if you think you've got something really going, 135. If you want to rebuild, throttle it back to 100. The Guardians don't pack them in either. I heard Dan Zangrilli talking about revenue problems for the Pirates because they don't have enough attendance, I guess. The Guardians hardly pack their ballpark. Hardly. There's only one conclusion I can draw when you look at how similar these teams should be and how much better one of them is. And this really doesn't encompass the entirety of the Ben Cherington era because it started before him, but it's continued apace. They are way better run from a general manager standpoint than the Pirates. It ain't close. That is the only conclusion that can be drawn. And also, you know how people have always said one of the big problems for the Pirates is like the names on the front of the jerseys, that there's almost like that, there's a malaise that spreads over players when they get here, and it took a guy like AJ Burnett and a young guy like McCutchen and a leader like Russell Martin to snap them out of it when they got good in the early 2010s. That doesn't exist for Cleveland. They've had guys like prime Corey Kluber, who was a damn good pitcher. They've had Francisco Lindor come up. Jose Ramirez is the kind of player you're going to look up when his career is over, when he has racked up his last stat. He's 33 years old. He has been remarkably consistent for basically a decade. You're going to look at Jose Ramirez's stats and wonder if that guy has like a fringe shot at making the Hall of Fame when it's all said and done. That is a serious statement that I would say holds up to scrutiny. He hasn't been outside the top 10 in MVP voting in 5 years. Going back to the 2019 season, he's been top 10 every year since then. They are, in every way, just much, much better run than the Pirates in things that have nothing to do with financial outlay. And watching them lock this thing up and watching them handle their business and force a third game just underscores all of that. And it underscores how disappointing it is that the Pirates, who are 365 and 505 in Ben Cherington's tenure, not only did not fire him, they saw fit to run it back and use many of the same platitudes to explain why they're confident in running it back. Forget about finances for a second, because this is as close to apples as you will get. One organization, at the very least, from the GM on down, acts like a serious outfit. The other one doesn't. Many of the problems people there have with their baseball team are the same as the Pirates fans have with this one. And yet, they win constantly. constantly. When you think about the the news that Charrington's back, that Don Kelly got an extension, that you've got Travis Williams saying we're going to be better next year. After, by the way, you got five games worse this year with your ace pitcher being as good or better than he was last year. Look at Cleveland and decide whether you really believe that any of that's going to come to pass here. They don't have to talk about it because even when they look like they're having a down year, they find a way to be about it.
I've said for years that the Guardians have to be a franchise that they model themselves after, and there are others that we can use as examples around baseball. I think there are two other big words that we can say here. Player development. They have so many young, homegrown guys, and you know, not all of them are young. Jose Ramirez is now over 30, but he's still a great player. They have so many homegrown guys that have worked out, that have paid off, and maybe they've been guys that have had some down seasons or they're not off to a red-hot start, but then you get into the postseason and they do big things. They hit big home runs. Two of the guys that hit home runs today, George Valera was the first one, Brian Rocchio the second one. Those are guys that I saw play for the Mahoning Valley Scrappers in 2018. They have Stephen Kwan, homegrown. Bo Naylor, homegrown. Jose Ramirez, the biggest example. They have guys that they are able to develop up through their own system. They become good or great players on the major league roster, and then they supplement from there with a couple of moves that, you know, take them to $120, $130 million in terms of payroll. The Pirates have to figure that part out, because if you're not going to spend big money, you have to hit big on your own players working out. They can't. You can't fail at both and expect to be good. We see Tampa Bay do it. We see Cleveland do it. The Brewers, they seem to be hitting a stretch where everything they touch turns to gold. The Cardinals,
but they
did it
still
for
do
years.
It in principle. The Brewers, all these teams still do what you're describing in principle.
Like the
regularly,
yeah. Like they don't have to spend up there with the Cubs or with the Mets or with the Yankees. But the players that come up through their system end up being good.
And when they have a great one like Ramirez, they occasionally will throw the real contract at him too.
Absolutely.
He signed 7 years, $141 million from 2022 through 2028.
And we see with other teams that have success like this that it's more often than not the players are good. With the Pirates, it's the other way around. It's like, oh, that's nice. This guy ended up being good. That's not how it should be.
I know. Fan Hotline is brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Our sports director, Steelers reporter, really just jack of all trades, Jeff Hathorn, is on the line right now. And Jeff, before I get into some Steelers stuff with you, just watched a team in a very similarly sized city, and you grew up closer to halfway between the two towns than many people here did, up by the state line. Win a playoff baseball game. And so I'll start with a continuation of my convo with Donnie. Mm-hmm. Why are the Guardians good damn near every year and the Pirates can't stop stepping on rakes like their sideshow Bob from The Simpsons?
I mean, their baseball ops have been so much better. I mean, let's bottom line this. They've made smart decisions, and they do spend a little bit more money. I know the thought is that, oh, the Pirates have the resources, but if you have a little bit more resources – that helps. Now, is the AL Central easier than the NL? Yeah, probably this year. But man, what a run those guys had. I mean, imagine you're in that room. They're talking about selling off. And yet, you know, they had everything to be able to come together. But you're right. Year after year, they just have made better baseball decisions.
The thing that gets me about them is, like, yeah, they spend a little bit more money, Jeff, but it's almost like they're the antithesis of the whole the name on the front of the jersey is part of the problem. Like you expect, I think guys do come to the Pirates and generally expect to lose. A guy like Skeens can break that. Burnett and McCutchen did, and Russell Martin did. I feel like in a weird way, guys end up on the Guardians. They see Jose Ramirez, who's been there forever, just churning out like essentially extremely high quality offensive seasons, and they kind of expect good stuff to happen at some point. And I can't shake that intangible quality that they have, and I don't know how you create it, and I don't know how you sustain it the way they have.
you know, we talk about camaraderie in the locker room, and that's brought up like, hey, these guys really, you hear it every spring training, man, these guys really like each other. With the Guardians, and Ramirez is a great example because of the way they treated him. So guys know at a market size that big, you're not going to keep everybody. But if you keep the guys that are special to the organization, you take care of them, you pay them. And what you hear up there too is they love the ownership. Like there is a respect. They fight for them. Like,
well, the fans don't like the ownership, but the players, if you're talking about them, yeah, they do. Yeah, the fans can't stand ownership there. I mean,
fans rarely like ownership ever. But the players do. The players kind of respect with their, and if you watch the game today, and I watched some of it after the Steelers had their brief availability, you saw a lot of this from the Guardians, where they're talking about the front of their chest and what's going on. You don't see that from a lot of teams either. That tells you you've got something going on up there that's a little different than most places.
All right. Now that I'm suitably depressed, moving on to the Steelers here. Bye week, no Tomlin. Would have loved to have heard him explain why Corliss Waitman punted the ball 20 yards through the end zone, why he decided in further detail to not go for it on 4th and 18 inches. Instead, we've got position coaches, coordinators, and what have you. Mm-hmm. What did you make of Pat Meyer and the way he talked about his offensive line? Specifically, I think the most under the microscope guy there, which is Broderick Jones.
Yeah, I mean, he talked about the improvement from Broderick, but what he said was, and it's true. I mean, none of us really want to hear this at times, but it is a combination of everybody. Like, if one person isn't doing their job, it can make the whole thing collapse. So, a number of times that's been Broderick, but you didn't notice him, which is a good thing for Broderick in that game. You saw them there were communication breakdowns here or there. You saw, especially on the first play. But I thought Broderick played pretty well. And they did get some more consistent play. Now, Minnesota's defense, oddly enough, as good as they were up front, they do give up rushing yards. But the Steelers, without their lead tailback, were able to take advantage of it. And, you know, we have seen this under Pat Meyer. Every year, it seems like the line does get better. It just takes till like halfway through the season. Well, maybe it's going to get better a little quicker, and we'll see how they, you know, what they look like when they come back against Cleveland. Because, yeah, Cleveland's a joke in a lot of areas, but they're not a joke, especially up front on that defense.
It's the best total defense in the league right now, which is kind of wild because they're 24th in points allowed. Speaking of the running back rotation, assuming Warren's healthy after the bye week, how do you think they're going to split reps given how Gainwell ran the ball?
Yeah, I still think Warren will get more carries. But Gainwell is versatile enough. I mean, they tried stuff up at training camp where they were using him, you know, as a slot receiver. Not that that would be an everyday thing, but think about this. If Calvin doesn't play, Gainwell might be part of those options. They're probably going to sign somebody, but let's say they don't sign somebody that really has a chance to play. I think Gainwell could see where Warren and Gainwell are in at the same time, not together in the backfield, but Gainwell is used in other areas. Just because of his versatility. So I think Warren carries it more. And, you know, Eddie Faulkner's running backs coach says he thought he saw something from Caleb Johnson in that last drive and feels like, you know, maybe he's ready to take a step.
Jeff, how do you feel about Aaron Rodgers' play through 4 weeks? Because it seems like the consensus I've been getting is that people feel like he is picking up steam, even though there was a long gap of you know, really nothing happening in that Patriots game, but that he came off his best game here against Minnesota.
Well, obviously, I mean, he's the worst quarterback in the league, and five backups are better than him. As PFF graded him, what, 37th?
I think it might
have
been 38th. Yeah, it might have been 38th.
Holy cow.
I didn't want to do that today. I could only make the listeners so angry with Pony out today.
Oh, I think he's been great. I mean, has he made a couple of bad throws? Sure. I mean, the overall package of Aaron Rodgers, and I'll mention that, like, a little thing like this. Zach Azani, the receivers coach, told us, like, Aaron goes to him and says, listen, this guy isn't doing this. This guy isn't doing this. We need to work on this. You know, he'll talk to guys. Like, he'll have a tough conversation. Doesn't matter if it's Pat Freiermuth or Roman Wilson. I think they needed somebody like this. But yet he can also – he's also comfortable enough in his own skin that guys can come to him. Like, it's not just him dictating stuff. And I didn't realize his love for the game. I really didn't. I mean, you knew if you're playing the sport at this age, you still enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But how much he loves the nuance of it, how much he still studies it, how much he appreciates guys like Skoranek and how he and Skoranek hang out together because he knows the little things he does. Like, I think all of that's been great. And hopefully some of the things that he's doing will leave a lasting impact on guys after he's gone, because he is a perfectionist, but he handles it in a way that you don't see most guys. Now, they haven't had a losing streak, so we don't know what will happen if they if that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've seen from Aaron is he's been a better leader than what we've seen on the field. And I think what we've seen on the field, given the fact he hasn't had a lot of time to throw, has been pretty good.
Very quickly, Jeff, do you anticipate the Steelers staying in-house to try to figure out what to do while Calvin Austin is on the shelf? How do you think the second wide receiver spot looks now if he's out for an extended period of time?
They're looking at options, but I don't expect a big name. I expect them probably to stay within house, but sign somebody who might compete. I mean, it's a short window to try to get somebody ready. And like I said, with whether it's a tight end, whether it's Gainwell, whether it's Skoranek or Miller, like they believe in some of these other guys. And here's a chance for Roman Wilson. If Zonnie says he's going to get his chance at some point in this season, it might be next week against Cleveland. And if he does something with it, then it's only going to make the offense better.
Jeff, I'm very sorry. This whole time, this was, of course, the Hawk Report. And what am I doing here? I mean, Donnie, why didn't you stop me? Didn't play the Hawk sounder. Hold on. Here we go. I got to take my headphones off here. Thank you, Jeff, for the Hawk Report.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Gavel, gavel, gavel.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. I would say order in this court, but he's standing across from me. The judge has come out from behind the bench to argue a case.
You think I should still have my robe on?
Yeah, like the white wig and everything, too.
You think Pony ever had that?
No. 100% no.
Why did he say he did?
Because that's what he does. He just says, he just throws crap against the wall and then never follows it up. I think it's like he intentionally makes bad running gags out of stuff. It's going to be Judge Charlie today. He will be hearing the following case, Don. Today's court case will be the Pittsburgh Pirates will or will not make the playoffs in 2026. Time for rock, paper, scissors, big boy.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Ha!
Ah, man.
Donnie, I'm going to argue that the Pirates will not make the playoffs in 2026. And a big shocker to everybody. All right, here we go. Judge Borges, Judge Charlie, it's a pleasure to be in the courtroom with you today. And I appreciate your willingness to be a pinch hit judge. I wish the Pirates could have a pinch hit GM and hire Mike Chernoff from the Cleveland Guardians, and then maybe hire Chris Antonetti away from the Guardians, who's their president of baseball ops, to run the show here. Because that would honestly be the single best thing that could happen to this franchise, short of a massive private equity cash infusion that comes with the string attached that they have to sign $150 million worth of free agents for next year's ball club. The Pirates are not going to make the playoffs in 2026 because, unfortunately, we have seen and heard this movie before from everybody from the owner on down. I have talked about how the word urgency has nauseated me over the last several years since Bob Nutting himself started using it. There's an urgent need to win. There's an urgency surrounding this franchise. Ben Cherington parroted that exact same phrasing. There's an urgency. Those phrases kicked up a notch when they got Paul Skeens and realized how good he was. Urgent, urgent, urgent. The urgency was met this past offseason by signing Tommy Pham, who they didn't really know, couldn't see, by trading for Spencer Horwitz, which looked like a good deal in the end because the guy they traded for him, yes, did end up getting possibly banned from baseball, and Horwitz played okay, but he also didn't really join the team because of a pre-existing injury they knew about until the season was already, frankly, lost. They did very little outside of draft Paul Skeens. They've done very little outside of draft Paul Skeens in the last couple of years and draft Connor Griffin and seemingly stay the hell away from him to make me think that they are competent, Ben Cherington and his lieutenants, at running an actual baseball team. It's hard to be a small market team and win. It's not impossible. Ben Cherington and his people merely make it look that way. They're going to continue to be all talk, all hat, no cattle. The Pirates will not make the playoffs in 2026.
Gavel, gavel, gavel.
Your Honor, I am struck with what may be an impossible task this afternoon, because I am going to tell these people and tell you why the Pittsburgh Pirates will make the playoffs in 2026. They do have a man named Paul Skeens. That man does do a lot of heavy lifting. He is the best pitcher in baseball. He just put together the best season that we have ever seen from a Pirates pitcher. I think that the Pirates in 2026 will stun us all. They will go out there and make a move to put them over the $100 million plateau. They will use that one trade chip they have as a starting pitcher, Mitch Keller. They will get a comparable bat to bring into this lineup. It will work like the Spencer Horwitz move did, not necessarily meaning that Mitch Keller will then be banned from baseball due to sports betting. But the Pirates will actually go out there and make a prudent effort because they know that this is possibly their final chance. This is Ben Cherington's final chance. This is the final chance perhaps for Travis Williams and everybody involved under the team's owner. I think Don Kelly is actually somebody that could get this team into the postseason. He wasn't 500 as the Pirates skipper, but I do wonder what the team would have looked like if it wasn't in a 12-26 hole when he took over. If they were in a position where he could have started clean and not having to work from behind. You only have to be a team that is 83-79 to get in. You don't have to be that good of a team to make the postseason based on what we saw this year. Why can't they be the Cincinnati Reds of 2025? I think the Pirates will actually run into some luck. Players will play well. They will be able to make the playoffs in 2026. Gavel.
Yeah, not exactly an Atticus Finch performance there from Counselor Chedrick. Your Honor, General Manager Ben Cherington's own words have already hamstrung my opposing counsel's case. He didn't say we're going to go out and swim in the deep end with free agency. He said we're not in the ocean. Perhaps he implied that they are more in like a pond or an above-ground swimming pool. He talked at length about having to make bets on unproven players. I wouldn't trust him to make bets on proven players. Were the Pirates, by some act of God, to have Shohei Ohtani magically transported on their roster for opening day, I assume Ben Cherington would make him the third base coach and take him off the active roster. This team needs a lot of things. Hitting help, and probably even a little more supplementary pitching, because you can never have too much of it. I think their biggest hope for hitting is that Connor Griffin's great and they bring him up early, and that a bunch of guys who don't have track records elsewhere decide to play well here. That just isn't going to happen. I have recent history on my side.
Gavel, gavel, gavel.
Counselor Mueller said the name Connor Griffin. That man is one of their only strings of hope in the 2026 season. They do have the pitching. We can say, hey, if they get into one of these playoff settings, they have a shot because of the pitching. But that doesn't get you to the dance. Connor Griffin will come up here and he will have to play like Mike Trout when he was 20 years old. He will have to look like Bryce Harper when he's 20 years old, or early 21, because he turns 21 in April. And then maybe, just maybe, every other team in the NL Central will suck in 2026, and it will open the Pirates' avenue to get to the postseason this time next year.
Wow, an argument so strong he didn't even want to use his entire minute. That's impressive stuff there. Counselor seems to take his own words very seriously here.
It was a respectful argument by both sides.
Oh, sure.
You don't have to sugarcoat this.
This game was over at Rock,
I would have needed
scissors.
Johnny Cochran and Rob Kardashian.
I was literally about to say it was...
Don't forget F. Lee Bailey.
It was like watching Johnny Cochran against a public defender that knew nothing about what the case was 6 minutes before he walked in, or they walked into the courthouse.
In this case, that is a good analogy, because Donnie didn't know what the topic was until 90 seconds before the segment started, if that.
The trial was lost when the defendant said he didn't rob the store, yet he said his name and his address on camera at the store he was robbing. Obviously, it's going to... I'm ruling in favor of Counselor Mueller. I'm quite tempted to throw in a mistrial here because it was that easy.
Too bad, buddy.
I cannot do that as I am an honorary judge and not the real judge. The Pirates are not making the playoffs in 2026. There's no chance in any way, shape, or form. We're going to bash our heads off against the wall this time next year as they're 77-85.
Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome. No, thank you.
The year of Malzy, the summer of Malzy continues. Winning court cases, endorsements coming out of my pores. I mean, it's just a great time to be me.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.